turn to Hebrews 11. That's where we're going to start at tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11. And we were talking this morning looking about Noah and what a great man he was of God. And we talked about some things about Noah's life that made him a great man of God. And we talked about, first off, we said that he walked with God. The second thing we saw that he did was he obeyed God. And the third thing we said was that he was remembered by God. Amen. That the Lord remembered him. Amen. And I'm glad to know the Lord remembers us and takes care of us and helps us. Amen. And I know that's something we hear a lot, we say a lot, you know, whatever. But if we let it get a hold of us, it's a big blessing. Amen. To think that of all the people in the world that God cares for us, as we sung about a while ago. Amen. And that He cares for us like nobody else ever has or ever will. Amen. And so you think tonight it's a blessing to know that the Lord remembers us. And then we had 3 points this morning, so we got 4 tonight, but these are a little bit shorter, if you will. Hebrews 11 and verse number 7, we'll see the fourth thing. Hebrews 11, 7, it says, by faith, we know these verses, the hall of faith here as we call it, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, I'll mark those words in my Bible, as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So here we see, of course, this is a kind of an obvious point, if you will, tonight, that Noah was a man of God. Why? Because he had faith. Amen. He was a man of faith. He was, if there ever was a man that it's so obvious that he was a person of faith, it would be Noah. I mean, you know, to take, and you know, we, on the other hand, I told David today as we were leaving from eating lunch, I told him, I said, you know, I said, we live in the rainforest, right? That's about the way I'm starting to feel. I don't know about y'all. You look over, there's the trees, and there's rain. We're in the rainforest, you know? And that's kind of the way you feel, the way we've had so much rain here lately. It's rain after rain after rain. But it wasn't like that back in Noah's time. We know they had seen not one raindrop fall from the sky before. Amen. They had never had these deluges that we've been having. They never had been having the hurricanes and all these things, the tornadoes. They had never had all these rain showers come by, if you will, or a thunderstorm. They never had any of the rain. God just used the dew to water the ground and all those things, but they never had the rain. And then the Lord tells Noah, not only is it going to, he didn't tell him, hey, there's going to be a rain shower coming, but he said there's a flood coming. You know, it would have been enough faith for him to think, okay, well, I better take my umbrella, it's going to rain today. But for him to take and to go through and to build an ark, because God's going to send that much rain, if that don't speak of faith, what does? Amen. For him to take and build this ark before he had ever seen what rain was. I wonder when the Lord said flood to him if he didn't say, what's that even? You know, he had never seen anything like that. The world had never experienced anything like that. It's going to rain. There's going to be a flood. What is this? What are you talking about? But by faith, the Bible says, being warned of God of things not seen. This had not been seen before. This had not been done before. But yet it says, as yet. Those words are interesting because of the fact, hey, God's going to do it, but He hadn't done it yet. Amen? As yet. And that's the same thing today a lot of times. You know, we're told that we're to walk by faith, amen, not by sight. Amen. In other words, true faith is knowing that God's going to do something because of what He said in His Word. We haven't seen it yet, but we know He's going to do it. Amen. Just like here, Noah knew God was going to follow through and do what He had said. And so because of that, he did what? He moved with fear. Amen. Because of the faith he had, he moved with fear, with reverence, if you will, for God, and knowing God was going to follow through on what He told him. And what did he do? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Amen. And so, in other words, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so, in other words, by his faith, he took and he made the ark, prepared the ark, got his family in the ark, and they were saved by faith. Amen. That's the same way you and me are saved today. Amen. The only way the people could be saved back then was by getting in the ark. The only way we can be saved today is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You think about only a few souls were saved. Amen. That's all, just a few souls, just his family. But if one soul gets saved, that makes it worth it all. Amen. That's worth building the boat for if one person gets saved. Just like today, it's worth sharing the gospel a whole lifetime only if one person gets saved. Amen. It's just as well, and it's just as worthy. You think about today, not only was Noah a man of faith that made him a man of God, but another thing, turn to 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter 2, he was a man of faith. But another thing is found in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 4. 2 Peter 2 and verse number 4. 2 Peter 2, 4. It says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." You know, you think about, here we see something else about Noah, if you will, that I think made him a man of God. Notice the verse again, it said, a preacher of what? Righteousness. In other words, Noah was one that warned others. Amen. He warned others. In other words, he was warned of God. We saw that in the last verse, Hebrews 11. He was warned of God of what was to come of the flood. So what did he do when he was warned? He warned others. Amen. You know, that's the same thing we ought to do today. Amen. When we're warned about the fact that, hey, if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a hell. You're going to spend eternity in hell if you don't get saved. Guess what you and I ought to do? We ought to warn others. Amen. That's what Noah did. He said, judgment's coming. God's going to judge. God's sending the flood. You better get in the ark or you're going to perish. Today, you and me, we've got the same thing. Amen. We've been warned from the Bible. Amen. That for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know that without Him, there's no way for us to make it to heaven. Amen. And we know that. And so we've been warned. Amen. Thank the Lord we've accepted the message of the gospel. We've accepted the good news of salvation. We've, if you will, gotten in the ark of salvation and been delivered. Amen. But now we need to be like Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and tell others, hey, you need to get into the ark before the rain starts. Amen. Yeah. You need to get into the ark before it's too late. Amen. The Lord's coming back. The rain's coming, if you will. Amen. And once it starts, it'll be too late, like we've been talking about on Wednesday nights, that great delusion. And once it happens, it's too late if you've rejected the message of the gospel. And here, once the ark door was closed, and God, we know, shut the door of the ark. Amen. Noah didn't do it. God did. And once He sealed them up inside, guess what? It was all over. I can't help but think, I've seen this on pictures, and some of y'all have, and I believe it's true, probably, that when the rain started, there was some people somewhere around, maybe a lot, maybe just a few, maybe just one, I don't know, that was close to that ark, and they were sitting there probably going like that. They were sitting there probably going like that, yelling and screaming, "Let me in the ark, let me in the ark." And you think about, it kind of reminds me of the same thing that's going to happen one day in heaven. That Jesus talked about on the Sermon on the Mount, that many's going to say unto Him in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works?" And He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That sounds like them knocking on the door to me. "Hey, hey, hey, didn't I do this? Let me in." No. The Lord says, "No, it's too late. It's too late." You think about the fact tonight that He warned others of the good news. He told others there's salvation in the ark. You and I today are to take and do the same thing, to tell people that the only way to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ, not reject the message. We need to warn them of the judgment to come and their need of salvation. And that's exactly what Noah did. He was the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the who? The ungodly. The thing that I find interesting about this verse, and I'll just leave this thought with you, and you can take it and say, "Oh, that's crazy," or you can take it and say, "That's interesting," and believe it if you want to. But I think it's more than likely true. I think it's a good point, but I wouldn't preach it as fact. That phrase there, "saved Noah, the eighth person. I had a preacher one time when I was at a meeting. He preached from this verse and several others. But one of the things he said about Noah here is he says the eighth person. He said if you count the genealogies, Noah was not the eighth person. He said what this talking about here, he believed when it said the eighth person was that Noah was the last person to get on the ark. That he made sure that his whole family got on the ark first, that they was safe. He tried to get as many people to go in as he could, made sure his family, everybody else was safe, and then he went into the ark himself last. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I believe it very well could be the possibility of that. I could see him standing there making sure his kids was in, making sure his wife was in. Sounds like a thing a loving husband would do, right? And a dad would do. Make sure everybody's safe, everybody's in the ark, everything's okay. And then maybe there was somebody outside looking at him. He said, won't you come on in? Come on in, please. And then they took and went inside. And of course, the Lord closed the door for the last time. And it was too late after that. You think about here, he took and he warned them of the judgment to come all the way up to the end, and more than likely being the last person to go into that ark, being that eighth person. He kept preaching righteousness, if you will, all the way up to the end, all the way up to the time that that door closed, even after those started even going inside, no doubt. But yet we know all of them rejected it except his own family. May the Lord help us, whether people accept the message or not, to still keep warning as long as the Lord gives us time. To still keep pleading with people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about that old song that Fanny Crosby said, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Amen. Plead with them, she says in one place in the song, earnestly. Plead with them gently. And I see Noah doing that same thing, pleading with them as he took and warned them and begged them to get into the ark. But not only that, another thing I think, the sixth thing tonight that made Noah a man of God, if you will, the sixth thing is found in Genesis chapter number 8, if you'll turn back with me there. Two more things. Genesis chapter number 8. And I found, as I was searching and studying this, I found this one really interesting. Genesis 8 and verse number 20. Genesis 8 and verse number 20. In Genesis 8:20, the Bible says, and Noah builded, what did he build? An altar unto the Lord. And took of, this is of course after they got all out the boat, got off the ark, and all these things had taken place. And took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Animals was in short supply, but he's offering an altar, a sacrifice here. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. We'll look at the rest of the verses in just a minute. But you see in verse number 20 that Noah builded an altar. I believe the sixth thing tonight, if you will, that made Noah a man of God was that he built an altar. The interesting thing about this verse right here, verse number 20, is that I didn't realize until I got studying this, is that this is the first time the word altar is used in the Bible. Now, I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, am I saying tonight that that was the first altar that was ever built? No. It could be, but I don't think it was because of what happened with Cain and Abel. Right? Bringing their sacrifice, the Lord accepted the one, not the other. So I believe there was pretty much an altar there. But I thought it was interesting that the first time that word altar is actually used would be here right after Noah got off the ark, that he took and built an altar. And the first time that word is used in the Bible is found right here. And he took and he had took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled it, and the Lord, of course, then began to speak. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But he built an altar. When you think about this altar, I think that speaks to the fact that Noah was a man of God. You say, why? Because what does an altar stand for? An altar was a place of worship. Amen. In other words, Noah was worshiping God in who he was, amen, but also worshiping him in what he had done in allowing them and carrying them safely through the storm. Amen. That God had carried them through the storm. That God had helped them stay safe through the flood. That He had helped them to get out of that ark. Amen. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be cooped up in that ark for all those months, Karen, for all those days, amen, and not be able to take and walk around and to do, you know, to get out and about, to see the sunlight, to see the birds, to see that, well, he saw plenty of birds, amen, but, you know, to get out and about, to see the clouds in the sky and all those types of things that you and I see every day that we don't even think about, to see the green grass, amen, to see all those things. But here he was, he got out of the ark, and what is one of the first things he did? He built an altar to God. He wanted to worship God and praise God and thank God for what he had done, for delivering him, for delivering his family, for sparing their lives, and he took and made an altar to do that. You think about today, what a blessing that is. The first time the word's used is right here, right after they take and they get off of the ark. Noah built the altar. It's a place of worship to God and a place of thanks to God and a place of sacrifice to God. Amen. You think about today, that's what the altar is for. Amen. It's a place of sacrifice. That's what they would take and erect the altar for, as he did here, to sacrifice according to the way that God had told them to sacrifice the animals, if you will, in praise and glory to God, if you will. And I think about today, you and I, we don't take and have to do the animal sacrifices anymore like he did. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. But we do have an altar. Amen. And it's a place of worship. Amen. There's nothing wrong with taking and having an altar and coming. We ought to have an altar, a place of worship, where we come and kneel down before God and pray to God and just worship Him and praise Him. Amen. And thank Him for what he's done. You know, sometimes people think, well, oh, he's going to the altar, there's something wrong with him, or she's going to the altar, they've got some sin in their life, or whatever have you. That ain't the case all the time. Amen. Sometimes you just go into the altar to thank the Lord for something. Amen. You go into the altar just to worship him and say, Lord, thank you, and just to praise God for what he's done. You think about here, he took and he built this altar, a place of worship, a place of sacrifice, a place of praise and thanks to God. That showed the man, that Noah, he was a man of God. But look with me at the last thing in Genesis chapter number 9 and verse number 12. Genesis 9 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations I do set my bow in the cloud." We know that's referring to the rainbow. "And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." So here we see, if you will, lastly, that the last thing, Noah was a man of God, I believe, but something that spoke to me about this man of God was the fact that God made a promise to him. God made a promise to Noah. He made a covenant with Noah. He told Noah, he said, hey, he said, "I'll never again take and flood the whole earth." Don't misunderstand this promise by God, number one, because some people take and they may try to twist it and say, hey, why we still got floods today? God broke His promise. No, no, no. What you need to realize is there's a difference between a flood, like we've seen even some places around here lately, and a flood like this. Amen. That's where some people's got it wrong. Noah's flood was not a localized flood. Noah's flood was not a South Carolina flood. Noah's flood wasn't even a United States flood. Noah's flood was a worldwide, entire earth flood. Amen. Not just the known part of the world flood, as some people want to try to say that it was. No, it was the earth. It was the whole world. The Bible says that. Everything flooded. Amen. Everything was covered. All the life was gone that was here, the Bible said. All of the flesh was destroyed. The Bible said that many, many times. And so here the Lord's making a promise, as we even seen in verse 15, that He shall no more become a flood, shall no more become a flood to destroy what? All flesh. In other words, God's not going to do that type of flood anymore. Will we see small local floods? Of course we do. We keep seeing them more and more, it seems like. Amen. But you think about the fact, some people say it's global warming. I don't believe that. I believe it's just God doing what God does. Amen. It's just nature and God controlling all those things. And yet He uses those things to get people's attention sometimes to try to. But I'm simply saying God made a promise here, a covenant, if you will, with Noah and the world that He would never again flood the world. And He gave a sign of it. Amen. And that sign is the rainbow. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but rainbows are beautiful. Amen. You know, rainbow is a beautiful, amazing thing to take and look at and to see one. Not long ago we saw one. I can't remember one evening we saw one at some point. I think about I've seen double rainbows. Maybe some of y'all seen them at some point where you got two of them going up and across. I guess the most clearest, beautiful one I've seen was one time we went down to, I think it was a few years ago, we went down to Orlando. And we was in Florida, and we looked out one evening. It had rained and poured, or either it was on mine and Kelly's honeymoon one, and we took and looked out, and we saw the double rainbow. And man, both of them was just as clear as could be. And you think about what an amazing thing that is. When we see those rainbows, it reminds us of the fact that God's made a covenant that He'll never flood and destroy all flesh like that again. Amen? You know, and it, the sad thing is, that the devil always tries to mess up things, don't he? He always tries to twist things. You say, what do you mean? Now when people see a rainbow, there's something else that comes to their mind. And it's sad to see the devil has twisted that into something else. Amen? But the rainbow is not a symbol for that. Amen. It's a symbol of God's not going to destroy all the flesh. Amen. There's nothing wrong with a rainbow. Something's wrong with them. Amen. And it's sad that they take and try to twist something that God made, God created for a promise, amen, if you will, of what He was going to do and what He was not going to do when it come to the world again. Rainbows are beautiful every time we see them. Remember, they stand for God's promise to Noah and to us. Amen. We see a rainbow, we ought to look back and thank the Lord for what He's done. Amen. Thank the Lord for Noah. Thank the Lord for Noah, the type of man that he was. He was a great man of God. He walked with God. He obeyed God. He was remembered by God. He had great faith. He warned others. He built an altar. And in the end, God made a promise to him. He made a covenant that, hey, no matter what may happen, I'll never take and allow another flood like this again to destroy the whole earth. I think about tonight, I hope the Lord can help me and help you to be people like Noah. Amen. I believe even you ladies can be like Noah. Amen. And be people of great faith that takes and obeys God and follows Him and does all these things we talked about today. A woman can do that just as much as a man can. Amen. And may the Lord help us to take and to be people that are men and ladies of God like Noah was. Let's pray.